Exodus chapter 32. I was a little bit confused. 32. You can open your Bibles, Pew Bibles, page number 91. We are looking at the Ten Commandments. I started about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And this is the second time we will be looking at the second commandment that God has given to His people. Mount Sinai to Moses. So this is another chapter that I want to read it to you. Verse 1 through, I'm not going to read all the verses, but 1 through 10, this is the story. Before we read the scripture, I'd like to pray with you. Let's pray. Let's go to before God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us your word and your teachings from the Bible. That we are here today one more time to listen to you and your stories and your teachings. And would you please bless us and open our hearts. We have so many people sitting here today, but they will receive it differently. Some people will see more things and some people will see different things. But we just pray that help us to open our hearts and to receive your word as your word. And we also pray for Steve as he goes to Indiana for his new job. Bless him and help him to continue to worship you, finding a good church and finding a good relationship with other Christians there. We pray all these things yours in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of God from Exodus chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold and in their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down and eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf, and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it, and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." Read this far, and we'll be looking at the second commandment. This is the word of God. See that the first commandment that we looked at 2 weeks ago is probably the most difficult one to keep perfectly. Why? Because it deals with the very heart of our sinful and rebellious nature. I told you that 2 weeks ago. People nowadays can make idols out of almost anything, making things and putting things, and they think that this is God, my God. The desire of power or reason, nature, tradition, and hobby, sports, and food, and entertainment, money, and even our own ourselves. Scary. And we put easily ourselves first and say, God second. Now the second commandment is probably the hardest commandments to apply it into our real lives. First commandment is really hard to keep it, but second one is really hard to apply it into our lives. We know that all other nine commandments are pretty much like a relative to our real lives. We should not worship, and we should not make any idols. We shouldn't murder people. We shouldn't steal something else from others. There's no false testimony. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Don't covet someone else's stuff. Most of the commandments that we know are crystal clear to us. It's very strong. As human beings, as we are moral beings, even as we are Christians, we all understand that we need to keep all the commandments. But the second one is a little bit tricky. No image, based on Exodus 20. No carved image. Now, what does it mean? Now, most of all, we have to think about what's the difference between the idols in the first commandment and the no carved image in the second commandment. Now, those two commandments are talking about the same thing, looks like it. But actually, these two commandments are talking about completely different things, different matters. Unfortunately, many people, sometimes we are confused, still confused. Now I'm going to get you more clue. The first commandment opposed foreign gods. There's only one true God. That was my topic 2 weeks ago. And the second commandment opposes self-willed worship of God. This is the key words, self-willed worship. Let me make it clear more. In the first commandment, God rejects all other gods and idols. There is one true God remains. Then after eliminating all false gods and idols from our lives, now God now talks about the right way of worshiping Him in the second commandment. God rejects every wrong way that people desire to worship Him. This is really important. So we can say that the first commandment points to the true God, and the second commandment talks about true religion, or the right way of worshiping God that I'm going to talk about today. The best illustration maybe about breaking the second commandment is probably found in Exodus chapter 32. That is our text today. Let me explain to you more about this situation, what was going on at the camp of the Israelites in the text. Now, this is the situation. When the Israelites arrived at the foot of Mount Sinai, and God called Moses to give him the Ten Commandments. That's the story. Now, we understand that. The Israelites had experienced so many things, the greatness of the Almighty God over the months. They witnessed what God had done for them in front of them, in front of the Egyptians. Remember the 10 plagues and the Red Sea divided into two, like this wall, that wall, and the pillar of a cloud during the daytime and pillar of the fire during the night. So God was trying to protect them day and night. And they also heard the voice of God when Moses went up to Mount Sinai. This is awesome. If you are hearing the voice of God, we will be thrilled. We will be thrilled. This is an awesome moment. It looks like as if everything was fine and perfect. They didn't need anything. They must have felt that, wow, we are so much blessed. We don't need anything. God saved us. They got what they wanted for 400 years in Egypt. Salvation, freedom. But all of a sudden, an unexpected problem arose for the Israelites in our text. When they were waiting for Moses, that is a problem, who recently climbed up to the mount to meet God. The problem was this: Moses did not come back to the camp. Their leader, Moses, who helped them to get out of Egypt, who performed miraculous things, a lot of miracles, and who led them to the presence of God, and who went up to the mountain, did not come back to the camp. You know, not only a couple of days, but 40 days and nights. No news from Moses. 40 days and nights. That was a horrendous moment for them. I'm sure that they must have felt like a child or children who lost their parents at the state fair. Like a Washington State or Spokane State Fair. A lot of people can find. They must have felt that they were like a sheep without a shepherd, in a soldier or in a battlefield without the commander. They didn't know what to do. They all panicked. They must have felt that God and Moses had left them. They supposed that Moses had lost his way in the darkness or perished in the fire. No God, no leader. They didn't know what to do and where to go. That's their situation. Think about that. It was really serious. No communication to God. There's no leader. So their conclusion was, we gotta do something. We had to do something. They had to do something before the situation got worse. So they went to Aaron, Moses' brother, and said, which is chapter 32 and verse 1, I'm going to read it from the NIV version, and come, make us gods who will go before us. What? As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. They are complaining. We must carefully read this particular verse here. Listen to what they said exactly. Make us gods who will go before us. Who is making gods? What the Israelites actually tried, they wanted was not worshiping something else, other gods. But here at this point, what they wanted to make the image of God. They want to see something in front of them. They continue to worship their God who brought them out of Egypt, but they didn't know how, because Moses is not there, what to do, because Moses was gone. When Moses was with them, they didn't have to worry about anything, communicating with God, because Moses was the one. He was the messenger of God. God always told Moses what to do, where to go, but not anymore. They faced a new challenge, which was a serious challenge, no communication at all. That's why this is how they solve the problem, which is very interesting. But we do the same thing. They asked Aaron to make the image of God, and they requested Aaron to bring their God back. Now, Aaron's reaction was also interesting, actually surprising. When the Israelites requested him to make the image of God for them, he, as one of the leaders, he should have rebuked them or reminded them of what God told them not to do. No, this is not right. No image God at all. Unfortunately, he decided to make a God for the Israelites in shape of a golden calf. He led the Israelites to an unforgettable sin. It's serious. And what he said after making the image of God, what he said was in form of the golden calf. He said, Exodus chapter 20, 32 and verse 4, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I'm reading from the NIV version. Then all the people in the camp began to worship the calf. Can you imagine? It's all about mostly like 2 million people sitting there looking at the calf and worshiping. This is our God. Crazy. What a sad situation we're looking at. Worshiping a golden calf. Probably at this morning, this time right now, we think that is nonsense. We're not going to do that. How come they made a calf and worshiped it? How come they thought that that was a God who brought them out of Egypt? But actually they did. Making a golden calf and worshiped it. Maybe it is a very difficult story that we read for you to understand this morning, because most of you were born and raised in Christian families, I believe. Probably you don't have any problem with the second commandment, the image of God. But as a converted Christian who used to be a Buddhist when I was a little boy, I'm able to understand these Israelites and their behavior, their attitude. Usually, I'm going to tell you about what we did. Usually the Buddhists worship many idols, many things, and such as the statue of a Buddha or carved stone and wood and everywhere. Then when we became Christians, most of us are confused by the second commandment. No image of God? Whoa. We used to have something, lots of things in our hands, image of God, but now no image of God. So it is not easy for the Buddhists to change their faith to Christianity. It's not easy. The converted Christian need to have something in their hands in a place of their former gods. Usually the cross is the substitute cross that we see behind me. In worst case, people bow down and worship the cross. We don't do that. But some other religions, when they became Christians, because they think that the cross represents the real God. Yeah, we see the cross. Now, the Israelites did not want to worship idols. Think about that. This is the point. They did not want to worship different gods, but real God. When Moses gone, what they did was to try to make the image of God in the form of a calf, in order to make their invisible God visible. That's what they tried. Unfortunately, we do the same thing all the time, don't we? We try to put God in our minds and hands and our lives, and we worship God in a way that we want. We worship God in a way that we create. Like the Israelites in the story. We should have something in our hands making God, oh, this is what I'm going to worship. Remember, the Israelites, their starting point was not making an idol. They tried to worship the true God, not in a way that God commanded, but in a way what they created. We do the same thing. We worship God not in a way that God instructed in the Bible, but in a way what we want, what we desire. That's why I said at the beginning of my sermon, self-willed worship of God is all about the second commandment. Now, nowadays, we don't have many images of God like in the Old Testament time, yet we know that people have not changed a lot from that time since God gave his commandments on Mount Sinai. A theologian say, says like this, evil runs just as deep, even though it comes to expression in different way than formerly. We are very creative, making things. Let's talk about more practical issues based on the second commandment, regarding the second commandment. Then how can we apply the second commandment to our Christian lives, the 21st century Christians? What does it mean by no image of God? Here what I'm trying to say is not our liturgical art that we see sometimes at the church. You know, we have to know that when God ordered Moses to make the tabernacle, the ark, the priest garments, God gave him a very specific instructions how to make them beautifully. Simply saying God loves art and all the artistic gifts that we have come from God. It's God's gift. The nature itself proves that God loves art. Now, the point of the second commandment is not about art. We just ignore all the art at the church. No, not that one. The point of the second commandment is about self-desiring, self-centered, self-willed worship. This is the way that I want to worship God. I don't care about you. This is my desire. As people making all idols out of almost anything, now people wrongly create the image of God out of almost everything nowadays. We all have images of God in our minds, our lives, and even in our church based on our personal experiences. We create our own understanding of God, then we create the image of God, and we worship our God in a way that we created and we worship. The thing is, we put God in a box that we made, and we begin to worship God in the box as our God, like the Israelite they did. That's why we always say worship style, 21st century churches and pastors, Christians, we are saying worship style. Really matter? Worship styles? Maybe you know the book, The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. I know some people don't like. Sometimes I like him, sometimes I don't like him. But one time he mentioned in his book, he describes the modern Christian misunderstand. You know, many people misunderstand the meaning of worship. He says in his book, worship is often misused to refer to a particular style of music. That's how we do. First we sing a hymn, then in praise and worship song. Or I like fast praise songs, but enjoy the slow worship songs the most. He continually says, yeah, worship has nothing to do with the style or volume or speed of a song. Christians often disagree about the style of music used in worship, passionately defending their preferred style as the most biblical or God-honoring. And he summarizes like this. This is kind of really nice. Every part of church service is an act of worship. Praying, scripture reading, singing, confession, silence, being still, listening to a sermon, talking, taking notes, giving an offering, baptism, communion, singing a commitment card, and even greeting other worshipers. And he says, bringing pleasure to God is called worship. Bringing pleasure to God is called worship. Think about that. Why we are here today. That's why Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Worship is giving ourselves to the Lord, making Him happy, joy. Then we have to ask the following questions. Are we bringing pleasure to God, or are we bringing pleasure to us? Now we should understand that one more time, an image attempts to make the incomprehensible comprehensible and the invisible visible. By doing that, we actually break God's second commandment. It is true that sometimes we understand a difficult concept when we see the image of it, right? But that's not the case for God. God is an incomprehensible being. We will never fully understand Him. We will never completely know God at all. Now we have to understand this. When people start to create something on any image of God, they begin to limit God's freedom in their minds. Now people begin to control the power of God through the image and they created. That's the problem of the second commandment. And have you ever watched any kind of demon casting movies? Typically in those kind of movies, a priest holds a cross and tries to cast out demons. Then usually the demons feel scared and they see the cross and they ran away from it. Now, biblically and theologically speaking, that's wrong. It is wrong because the priest tries to control the power of God by holding the cross. Don't get me wrong. The cross itself is not wrong. It reminds us God's salvation through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the cross itself does not have the power to cast out demons. We cannot use it. Now, the same story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 4, which is from Old Testament. This is a story when the Israelites were defeated by the Philistines. And they thought that they would win the war if they would bring the ark. They thought that, oh, we're going to bring our ark. So they said in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 3, let us bring the ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh, and so that it may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies. Many times this is our attitude. Unfortunately, their plan did not work at all. Although they brought the ark of the Lord to the battlefield, which is a holy and most powerful thing, they did not defeat the Philistines. Do you know what happened? The worst part of the story was, not only were the Israelites defeated by the Philistines, but the Philistines captured the ark of the Lord as their plunder. What a sad story. Sure, later on, the Philistines returned the ark of the Lord to Israel because they got involved in lots of troubles because of the ark. But the story itself teaches us the truth. No one can control the power of God. No one can make an image of God. Making any type of image of God is wrong. But we do every day. Bob, can you turn the screen? I was raised by a single mom. As a boy, I always asked my mom and wondering about my father. And once in a while, I asked my mom about my father, and she told me about him. James, he was a very handsome man, like a movie star. Movie star? And she said, James, he was a very kind man. Yes, very kind man. Sometimes she said, James, he was a very famous musician in South Korea. Musician? And she said, James, he wore a pair of glasses. Oh, pair of glasses, like this? And one time she said, James, he is exactly like you. But I heard people saying to me, James, you look like your mom. Hold one second. My mom told me that, James, he is exactly like you. People say, James, you look like your mom. Who's my father? Then when I was in college, one day I found a picture from my mom's purse. That was my father's picture that I'd never seen before. It, like this. Unfortunately, he was not a celebrity, like a famous guy. And he was not Beethoven, or he was not, that I had imagined, famous person. We have to think about this. The same is true. We think about God in a way that we have experienced in our minds and in our lives. We worship God in a way that we want to. That's why we make things. That's why we do self-willed image of God all the time. That's why we say, I like this worship style. I don't like that kind of worship style. Actually, we don't need any image of God because we have the Bible in our hands. It is better for us to faithfully read the Word of God and than wrongfully create an image of God. I'm pretty sure that when we go to heaven, we all be surprised when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, because he will be none of our imaginations that we receive from our all the pictures that we see. That's why we believe that having a picture of Jesus Christ is also considered as breaking the second command. The reason the Israelites made the calf and worshipped it was that they felt that God was unreachable. There's no connection. Since Moses was gone for 40 days and nights, they thought, they felt that God was also gone with him. Probably they were afraid of losing God, their God. Probably their hearts were completely broken. There's no future. So by making an image of God in a golden calf, they wanted to make sure that God was still with them. God is here with me. We cannot see God at all. We cannot touch him. We cannot understand him. We cannot control the power of God. However, all things do not mean that God is unreachable. No. As the Bible says, God is here with us today. God will be with us all the time. We must understand that we are not the ones who keep the covenant. We're not making things, but God is the one who keeps the covenant. God's covenant has already been fulfilled by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he says, Matthew 28:20, and surely I am with you always. I am with you. To the very end of the age, Jesus is with you, with us, with me today. Jesus Christ will be with us forever. Now people say we love contemporary worship style, traditional worship style. People say we love fast songs, slow songs, these kind of worship styles. Why are we here today? To make us happy? To feel good about ourselves? What do you need? What do we need? Nothing else. We don't need anything but only Christ. We worship Christ alone today. That's why we're here. Jesus Christ, who came to the world to save us from our sins, who died on the cross, who was resurrected from the death. So there is no preferences. We don't need them. Our preferences are not important, but Christ alone. That's why Paul says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Remember what God said. Exodus 20, chapter 20, verse 4. You shall not make yourself for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth, because we don't need them, because we have our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, sometimes we love to make things that we should not make. We love to put you in a box that we created. We see every day, every church is separated because of different worship styles and preferences. Sometimes we're making lots of images of you in our minds. But Lord, we have the Bible, the scriptures in our hands. And we have our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to only worshiping you, nothing else. Only Jesus Christ, nothing else. And help us to feel and to know that we are satisfied, we are fulfilled by the love of Jesus Christ. We don't need anything. We pray all these things, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hymns of response.